course, that is true. Well, that's not true.
That's very odd.
Yeah, I'll make it work.
All right. Honestly, I don't trust Bender to make it work.
Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we are back, and this is the... If you listened to the last episode, which was just me, you know this is the episode that almost didn't happen, or I didn't know if it was going to happen. And so, some context, I'm leaving town tomorrow. I said that. I was going to do this episode with Bender and Tom if they were available, which they weren't. The flop was going to do it, but she decided that she's tired, which she's not. And I had asked Jay, Nerdcast Jay, for those that remember, if he could do it, help me do it this week, and he said no. Until about 9:30 or 10 o'clock this morning when you texted me and said, hey, I could do it. And I was like, oh, well, then we have an episode.
Yeah, I got a text at midnight because of the impending weather. Steve couldn't host us, so we just canceled.
So I want to – I also want to know that in the world, we need more safe places. We need more places where people can speak without fear of, you know, repercussions. Yeah. This is not one of them. No. So I feel like we should shit on Steve a little bit because of what weather is he worried about?
Well, he works at the airport and does maintenance on planes.
Okay. God, man, I really wanted to pile on Steve, but he may be busy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because when you said, all you said with no backstory was, hey, because of the weather, we're not having ours. And I was like, well, they may be the biggest group of cowards of all time.
Yeah.
but hey, that's okay. That gave us an episode. So this is episode 196. It's just you and I. And if we were going live on Facebook, I would hold up my lack of notes for people because I literally planned nothing. Now, that said, I know that I would love to get someone's outside thoughts on Star Wars, and I know you're a big guy. We have Cardinal news that's popped up, and you're pretty deep into the Cardinal stuff. And then, you know, anything else that I wasn't worried that you and I couldn't find topics.
Oh yeah, I think we can find something.
So this is funny too, because the very first episode after the new year, regular episode after the new year last year was you and Missy. And this year it's you. So you're like my first guest host is your role now from now on.
All right. So I'll mark it out next year.
Yeah. Yes. Just put it on the calendar. Yeah. Whatever the first weekend after New Year's is, you're going to come on the show. So that said, let's jump in. We've yet to talk to anyone outside of the three of us, the three of us being me, Tom, and Bender, about Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts on that this year?
Okay. We went.
There was a pause.
Yeah,
there was a pregnant pause right there.
Yeah, I'm torn on it. There are things I really liked, but I was getting very tired of rehashing the stories.
Yeah, I kind of feel, and I think that everybody kind of agrees. The reason that the stories kind of have to be rehashed in this one was because of the essentially ignoring everything from the second one.
Right.
It's like they wanted to shout back to the first Abrams first, so there was a little bit of. I don't know. I know what you're saying on all of that, though. You know,
yeah, the first half of the movie felt like Empire Strikes Back. She's training. She fights a version of herself, learns out about her parents.
Yeah.
And the second half was Return of the Jedi.
Yeah. And I guess if you really want to, and we've said it on this show, too, if you want to extra critique that style of storytelling, Force Awakens was a damn near a shot-for-shot remake of Star Wars,
right.
New Hope. And I'm almost okay with it if that was the theme of the Skywalker trilogy, how the cycle continues.
Right.
And had they really beat that more, you know, beat a dead horse a little more with that, Ben's defiance to breaking the cycle would have made more sense.
Right.
Because he wanted to burn it all down. Our history repeats itself. He said it like a million times when throwing his temper tantrums. And I don't think that's a bad way of telling the story.
No.
It's like... They went three quarters of the way. They didn't go all the way in using that.
Right. And I think part of the reason I liked Last Jedi so much was different. It was something new.
Oh, I forgot you liked Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was different. It was something new. It gave us new stuff, new characters.
Oh, boy, did it.
Yeah.
Well, this one did too. I mean... And again... I'm not trying to poop on Star Wars. This is what they've done since day one, is anytime they get us a new character, it's just a new chance to market and put out more content in book and comic and video game. And
Disney's worse about that now than it's ever been.
I saw an interesting article breaking down why these fell flat compared to the original trilogy and even in some ways the prequel trilogy. Mm. And they said it was – you could, if you step back and just from a cinematic standpoint, critique it that way, it has Disney's fingerprints all over it. It's there was a lot of intimacy to the original trilogy, and even they tried in the prequels because Lucas wanted to tell a story of character evolution and things like that. He tried. He's just a bad writer.
Yeah.
But in this trilogy, they don't ever let that breathe. They don't ever give a moment to where they're you know, everything's sweeping battles, epic, and that's Disney.
Yeah.
That's what they do with the cartoons. That's what they do with everything.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing that hurt this was having different writers for the first one and then Rian Johnson the second one, then going back to JJ.
Yeah. It didn't hurt the original trilogy.
Right.
But they had a different one for each film.
Right.
So
yeah, if you look at the trilogies as a whole, I mean, they're more cohesive.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were to sit and rank that, like, the movies, the new trilogy would be individually, like, in the middle for me. But then if you look at it as a trilogy, this was the weakest trilogy because there wasn't one cohesive story throughout the three movies.
Yeah, I think the reason it was is even though, like I just said, the original trilogy had three different writers, this one only had two, but they clearly were not on the same page.
Right.
And they clearly had no communication back and forth.
And Lucas had the outline for all the movies.
Yeah, he gave the plot points. Yeah. You fill in the plot points. Or not even plot points. I'm told what he said was, here's where we're going.
Yeah.
Here's where I want to be by the end of that. And you guys figure it out to get there.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's a good way. I mean, that's, you know, a very comic booky way of, like, someone like when Jeff Loeb was the architect of the DC universe and stuff, how he would do it. Like, here's where we're going, fill in the blanks. I don't know. I think if the interwebs are to be believed and the rumor mill is going to happen, I think Jon Favreau being in charge of the direction is a good thing.
Yeah.
And I think even though Warner Brothers with DC, back to Jeff Loeb, has kind of dropped the ball on it, but I think Jon Favreau's proven. Jon Favreau's quietly become the most dependable man in Hollywood.
Oh yeah, well, for Disney, definitely.
Yeah, for Disney,
he does those live action remakes, and then he set up the MCU.
Yeah, and still somehow manages to make a very small scale, beautiful story like Chef.
Yeah,
which is, you know, not even close to the same beats as Swingers, but still is that low, that very just a snapshot of someone's life like Swingers was, and it's a great man. There's not a day that goes by that if I'm flipping the channels at Swingers or Chef's on, I don't go past it. I stop and watch it. I've probably seen Swingers 100 times in life.
Yeah.
I probably watched it 20 times the first year it came out because I was a freshman in college and I thought, well, this is how the world's going to be for me.
Oh, yeah.
I got to go to L.A. Look at this.
Yeah.
This is how L.A. is. Look, you have no money, but you live and party.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
No. not at all, but it was fun to see that.
Yeah. And then with Chef, and even I've tweeted and praised about the Chef show or whatever the show is on Netflix. I love that show.
Yeah.
It's my favorite cooking show. And Jon Favreau is a big reason. The other reason, he gets these amazing guests.
So. Oh yeah,
and I like Chef Choi. So anyway, so let's just go on that movie alone, on Rise of Skywalker alone. Out of five,
2.5.
Ooh, that's just right at average.
Yeah,
right at average. I tell you this, let's do something we haven't done this with the other two, and I'll ask them when they're on. Three separate trilogies: prequels, mm-hmm. original, and the sequel.
Yeah,
let's give each one of those out of five. I'll let you start. Let's go chronological order. Let's go with the prequels.
Okay. Prequels, I'd probably give them 3, 3.5. They weren't great.
Yeah. I'm a 2 on those, and it's a hard 2.
All right. So my thought on those were, we had the original trilogy when we were kids.
Yeah.
The acting is not good. The story is not good, but it meant something to us.
I think Bender's made that point, too. Like, it's more to, like, say, Jeremiah, his son,
right,
than it does to him.
Yeah. So if you step back and look at it the same way for the prequel trilogies, the acting was a little bit better, the story was a little bit weaker, but they're right in line with each other.
The dialogue is atrocious.
Yes.
And it's noticeable, and that's my big thing. I mean, the poor choice in casting. I mean, those movies were, to me, doomed from the onset when they casted what was his name?
Jake Lloyd. Yeah.
Not Jake Lloyd's fault.
No.
But we knew where the story was going.
Oh, yeah.
So that made no sense.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, and then I don't think Hayden Christensen improved situations any.
No.
And it also didn't make sense from a storytelling standpoint on how they explained that Padme didn't age whatsoever.
Yeah.
And now, you know, now Anakin's her age almost, looking anyway. But I still, I just... I was not a fan of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's a hard two. And for me, they almost start at like a 2.5, go down to a 2, then go down to a 1.5, and then it averages out for me. They're just,
yeah.
I get why people would like them. I just, from the original pod race to the awful, you've got the high, I've got the high ground, just
yeah.
a series of bad choices were made.
Yeah. One thing that's helped me appreciate those more is watching the Clone Wars cartoon, because they flesh out the characters a lot more in that.
Yeah, and for me, and I get it, and I'm going to give those a shot. I believe you shared the how to watch them,
yeah.
the order to watch them, and I will do that. And I've heard nothing but great things about Clone Wars and Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is it makes me dislike the movies more.
Yeah,
because you don't need, you shouldn't have to rely on extra material to make it justified.
Yeah,
and it, but still, but and, you know,
and that's one of my biggest critiques with Disney right now is. Everything they do is setting up for something else, a comic, a book,
yeah.
TV shows.
You know, and that's, I guess, the best thing about the Marvel MCU is that, yes, we know it's setting up, but they do a good job setting up with things like the epilogue,
right.
the after credit trailer. And they tend to try to keep the story pretty finite inside the opening and closing credits.
Yeah, and I don't feel like I have to read like the prequel comics that come out
yeah.
for the MCU stuff.
Yeah, and I don't even include Infinity War and Endgame in that because that was one movie.
Right.
I mean, we know that was one movie, but all the other ones have done a good job of self-containing it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
then here's, oh, by the way, stay through the credits, which, you know, is a nod. Here's a nod to what's coming forward. And sometimes they just even completely went away from whatever that was.
Yeah.
So that's okay with me. I think they've, it's so weird though. And I think that again, going back to what would happen with Favreau, with Kevin Feige, is that here's a guy that had a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even think that he gave any plot points. I think he probably just stepped in and said, hey, we can't go that direction. Let's do something different.
Right.
And then what was her name in charge of the Star Wars universe?
Kathleen Kennedy.
Kathleen Kennedy, who clearly, you know, with all the problems they had with Solo, with mm-hmm. every, like, just different ways of keeping your house, even though it's under the same ownership.
Yeah.
Both were vastly differently ran, and I think Marvel just did it right. And I don't think we're ever going to see anything like what these Marvel movies accomplished in Hollywood.
No, probably not.
It doesn't make sense between how much they spent, how many big names were attached,
mm-hmm.
and to outperform on your return.
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, and what's also back to what you were saying about from when we were kids, when Star Wars came out, which was 30 years ago, almost 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
to Marvel. I think one thing that helped Marvel is it didn't have that legend to live up to when it's movies.
Right.
And there was a great article that I read recently that said the problem with the new Star Wars movies is not the movies, but the fans.
Yeah.
And there's something to that. And I've got them all in my Facebook feed. I've got guys that are a member of the 501.
Yeah.
And they're diehards. And even among their group, there's some are like, oh, it's not bad. I wish they didn't. And there's some that are diehard and saying, I will never go watch another Star Wars film again as long as Kathleen Kennedy's in charge. And
oh, yeah.
It's just, and again, like I brought up on the New Year's episode, like all the hate over having the minority characters not portrayed well enough. I mean, it's impossible to make people happy in these films.
No, it's, yeah, you never will.
So that said, let's jump to the original trilogy.
The original trilogy was my thing growing up. Like,
yeah, well, most of us.
Yeah, we had a bootleg copy from HBO that me and my brothers would watch probably once a month.
Or so, you just see when you would set up your VCR.
Yep.
You remember when you had to do that and stop for commercials so you have to. I had a friend in college, side note, after college, just a bunch of us guys that lived together, three of us guys, that was actually would cancel on plans or not go out to the clubs or to a bar or to even hang out with chicks.
Yeah.
If MTV Cribs was on. Because he was recording Cribs,
yeah.
and he wanted to be home to make the pauses.
Ooh.
So he could have them. Because
yeah.
once he got older and was going to live on his own, he wanted the ideas on how to make his house awesome.
Right. Huh. That's interesting.
MTV Cribs, of all things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a little weird. But
hard to afford some of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the guy. And
yeah.
he was kind of one of those guys that was had no direction in life. All the advantages in the world, well-off parents, college degree, just was a guy that was in his early 20s recording MTV Cribs and not having no. And then he went in the military. Now he's like very like a officer in the Air Force. And
yeah.
Found a beautiful a woman overseas and married her. But it was like, if you knew that guy,
yeah.
It would unbelievable where this other guy came from.
Right.
But so your thing, you had the bootleg copy.
Yeah. So we watched it all the time. We could recite the whole movie. We had action figures. So
we used to play it all the time. Yeah. Like we'd get those essentially hard hollow tubes with the that looked like lightsabers.
Yeah.
And when you swung them, they had the holes that would make it go woo woo. And we'd play it all the time. And my brother, even though he was 6 years older than me, he was still in the age where playing pretend was fun.
Yeah.
And what pissed me off is that we'd reenact it shot for shot, and I always had to be R2-D2 because I was the short little guy. It made me so mad. At least give me an Ewok.
No, yeah.
They killed people.
Yeah. 8 stormtroopers.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, yeah, I'd probably give it 4, 4.5, somewhere in there.
That's solid.
Yeah.
Again, like I said on the last episode with The Witcher, my logical thinking brain wants to give them as a whole, like a 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go 4.
Yeah.
I mean, and honestly, my heart almost wants to give them a 5 because they are along with the original Superman, they're like the thing that shaped my childhood.
Yeah.
But 4, and I don't think that's bad for them. So that would take us to the most recent.
So as a whole, I'd probably give them a 2.
Oh, wow. You and I have flip-flop on their prequels and this.
Yeah.
Because I'm at a 3.5 as a whole, with the first one being, I don't know, I may have gave it a 4, 3.5 or 4.
Yeah.
And then I dropped down to a 2.5, I think, and then I jumped back up to a 3 on the, or 3.5 on the last one.
Yeah. I liked The Last Jedi a lot, just because, like I said, it was different and it gave us new things, and it just wasn't a rehash of the story. And so I think that's what really hurt this one is they had so many directions they could have gone, but then they went back to repeating the original trilogy.
Yeah, instead they chose to go on a 30-minute casino scene. Yeah. And I hate the movie so much. I get it. That said, too, the Rey Ren fight against the Imperial Guard is awesome.
Yeah.
That's the best moment in it.
Yeah.
I get that. But outside of that and the casino, for vastly different reasons, I couldn't tell you any more about the movie. I forgot it so much.
Yeah.
And the Rise of Skywalker, maybe. Well, I think Skywalker's got a lot of memorable things in it for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably more has to do with Disney because they know how to shoot a scene. You know, I'll always remember the original fight with when Rin kicks her ass on the Death Star, pieces of the Death Star. I'll always remember the final fight. I'll remember the battle against the Emperor because that looked very Matrixy.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things I'll remember more in it. And I did like it more, so that'll help.
Yeah. They are talking about releasing an extended cut. Have you heard all the stuff with JJ and Disney?
No.
Okay.
Because he's leaving.
Yes. And so his production company, Bad Robot, was out there like taking bids from the studios to see who would get his services. And I think Warner ended up with it.
Yeah.
And Disney got kind of upset about it. So there was someone on production that leaked a bunch of information. Like, Disney went after he submitted his final cut and cut more from it. It was supposed to be like, the original cut was 3 hours and 5 minutes, and then he cut it down to 240, and then the final cut was 220, and he didn't know they cut additional out of it.
Yeah, and we said, the three of us, Bender and Tom and I, said going into it, when it was opening weekend, we were like, we all were like, yeah, that's going to be 3 hours, 3+ hours of your life. And then I looked, and I was like, wow, this is not a 3-hour movie.
Right.
It doesn't make sense from everything we know about movies and Marvel and Star Wars.
Yep.
And everyone expected 3 hours.
Yeah. And so, like, they shot Force Ghost with Rey at the final battle and cut all that out. And there were more backstory on, I don't know if it's some of the characters. I don't remember the details on it.
Yeah.
But they said after the fact, JJ got in a screaming match with people at Disney, and he's such a laid-back guy that that's not something you ever see out of him.
Well, and I tell you, the House of the Mouse is a cruel house.
Yes.
I mean, look what happened with Gunn And I don't know how they sweet-talked him into coming back. They must have told him that this will be a very finite, resolute end to the Guardians trilogy. Yeah. And he probably appealed to him because it was his baby.
Yeah.
And he did a good job with both of them. But, yeah, I mean, and then, yeah, that, I mean, and like I said, we've referenced before the solo stuff, getting rid of everybody. And then Edgar Wright. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wants to get out of there. It's
Colin Trevino was supposed to make this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And,
And they've scrapped the David Lindelof and all the, or the, not, the, who was it?
No,
it was
the Game of Thrones guys.
Game of Thrones guys. Are, they're out. They're like, yeah, no thanks.
Well, I mean, it even goes back, like, Edward Norton had issues with the filming.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's Edgar Wright.
And his was even barely a Marvel movie, you know?
Right.
I mean, and he did, it was because he, only reason he won, because it was in his contract that he got to do the final cut.
Right.
Because it wasn't a Disney contract. That was the thing. So, yeah. But he wasn't coming back.
But
he's like, forget that.
Patty Jenkins was supposed to do Thor 2.
Yeah.
And then they just announced Scott Derrickson is not doing Doctor Strange 2.
I did not know that.
They just announced that yesterday. They had a difference of opinions on the movie. Because he said at Comic-Con it was going to be more of a horror movie. And then Kevin Feige.
Oh yeah, it was supposed to be the horrors of the right. or infinite or universes or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The
multiverse.
Name. Multiverse. Yeah.
Multiverse of Madness.
That's what it was. Yeah, which is a very scary title.
Yeah.
So you expect a scary movie.
So Kevin Feige's kind of backed off that the last couple of weeks, and all of a sudden yesterday announced he's not on the movie anymore.
Mm. Feige. Yeah, I wonder how much of it's Feige. I wonder how much of it is Marvel or Disney as a whole, because this is the one thing that has happened to both houses.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, ESPN. ESPN's not a nice go sometimes over there. And how much of it Disney... Listen, they're assholes.
No,
I mean, but it's the most successful business in the world right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, and they, you know, they're gonna own everything at some point.
Oh yeah, I mean, if they keep buying places like Fox.
I tell you one thing that I think they've dropped the ball on, and as great as The Mandalorian was, and it was awesome,
mm-hmm.
and the great as I liked the Jeff Goldblum series on there,
yeah,
and Disney Plus is great. I think it was they jumped the gun on releasing that the app, with only two original things and making us wait for everything else, because you know they said something like almost like 20% of their services were canceled after the Mandalorian was gone, and I don't think it probably would have been 10 had they had more content ready to go, like Marvel content or something. And I get next year is going to be big for them, but that's next year.
Yeah,
I mean, what, I don't even know what all's coming in 2020. And they're probably going to surprise us with something.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, The Mandalorian, which was unbelievably good.
Yes.
There needed to be somewhere to go after this. And since they still don't have all the rights to all the movies and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think for as great as it was, and we were talking about how they promised us this and they over-delivered, and then I think it's completely opposite. Now I think it's back to being subpar because... Unless you have young kids, which mm-hmm. I don't. I mean, I have a 9-year-old that's a tomboy and a 14-year-old that's a teenager who doesn't care.
Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase it. They've been watching a lot of Hey Jesse and things like that.
Yeah.
And they get a kick out of it. But as a grown-up that's paying for it, I don't give a shit about all the movies that are on there.
Yeah.
Because I've seen them all.
Yep.
And so I wish they would have had been more ready.
Yeah.
That's like a video game system launch. You know, like when Switch was originally launched and only had like 6-7 titles.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's awesome. But you can only do so much with, you know, little kid painting games and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like you said, eventually more is going to come, but they might be hurting for a little while until some of those Marvel shows come.
Yeah, which you knew those were going to be long time coming because, one, they're very expensive.
Yeah.
And they're very special effects laden.
Yep.
And you're dealing with – the one thing I'll give them credit for is they're dealing with super megastars.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're megastars – megastars have a mega busy schedule.
Yeah.
Jeremy Renner has shit going on.
Yeah.
You know, even the voices they're getting, that's mm-hmm. probably the easiest thing to animate. And I got to tell you, that's one that's quietly snuck by. I can't wait for the What Ifs.
Oh, I know.
The cartoon, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah, when I saw that cast list, I was floored by everyone they got coming back.
What if I pop a Woody watching a cartoon? That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
I mean, that is going to be an amazing show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited about that. But, you know, I guess we should transition into that. I mean, it's a weird lull in the last 10, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
of waiting for a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
I know there we've gotten, you know, we have the schedule of what's coming, but and I haven't looked it up, so I can't say this for certain, but this feels like the longest gap between movies.
It might be since the beginning, because for a while they're doing 3 movies a year.
Yeah, and now we've got, this year, what is
2?
2.
Yeah.
And it's
Black Widow and Eternals.
Yeah, and we've seen nothing from Eternals, so you know that's not close.
Yeah, and I think that's supposed to be November, so I don't think they have anything for the summer blockbusters.
Just Black Widow, when does it come out?
I think that May, beginning of May.
So that's kind of where it's kind of like a pumpkin beer from craft breweries. They keep pushing up when the summer starts.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't perform well, they'll say, "Well, that wasn't the summer movie."
Right.
Like it's like they have their caveat.
Yeah.
Like July, I expect to see a pumpkin beer out this year. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's and I guess 2021 is going to be busier.
Yeah.
And then what we'll probably see is a slow ramp up, but it is it's a drought.
Yeah.
And you would think, call me crazy, but you would think that Warner Brothers would want to capitalize on it.
Oh, yeah, because I think they've got the Harley Quinn
movie. Emancipation of Harley Quinn, which, by the way, the second trailer, incredible.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Again, who's directing that movie?
Yeah, I don't even know.
It's James Gunn. And Suicide Squad. Yeah, no. It's someone good on the Harley Quinn. We'll have to look it up in a second. But yeah, but no, the new Suicide Squad is him, and that's in the works. We know that's coming.
You have that and Wonder Woman this year, I think.
Yeah, Wonder Woman 84, also good-looking trailer.
Yeah.
The Steve Trevor thing is going to be interesting, and we'll see how they do that.
So I don't know if you listen to Fat Man Beyond.
Not as frequent as I used to.
So Mark Bernardin said the way they should do it is, that's not Steve Trevor, that's John Jones.
That would be awesome.
Sees a picture of Steve Trevor and just adopts his.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And it would give you for a pretty good reveal and anger out of Wonder Woman to show you how strong John Jones is.
Right. And then you get to keep him and Chris Pine in the movies.
Yeah. And you get to set up a proper JLA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which, if Abrams is going to be a part of it, you know, and be the architect, I feel confident. You know, that's going to go somewhere nice. That would be awesome. I hadn't heard that. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. How about where do you think if the movies are in a lull, and even the DC movies are in a lull a little bit, how do you think that's impacting comics? And we've had a couple of cancellations because the holidays were stupid, and I get it. But the owner of Apotheosis Comics was going to come on, and it would have been a great night. They got a new bar set up for their counter, and I want to go there too. But I'd love to ask him because you know comics do spike when new movies come out,
right?
But when there's no movies, I wonder what it's going to do. And I'm not asking you not necessarily the sales. But don't you think that this is a good time to really make a great comic book and not worry about the damn movies?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've seen it in the last few months with X-Men. They've really been pushing it. Good stories. But there's so many other characters that they could hit on very easily to do the same type of thing. And I just don't know if they can really capitalize on comics with...
I think comics are hard to capitalize on anything now.
Yeah.
The print is hard.
Yeah.
On at least the fans are going to be there. And I mean the diehard fans, because even the casual fans disappear. But it's very hard to make a massive impact with comics, but just because print is such a slow bleed.
Yeah.
You touched on the X-Men, and since we didn't get to have that episode, I think by the time we do get around to having an episode, that's probably going to be passed.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But my complaint about the thing is I still, after it's done, don't feel like I read an X-Men story.
Right.
And I don't feel like the X-Men are truly back the way it is.
Yeah, because everyone just felt a little bit off.
Yes, like a little bit off the Deus Ex Machina that we have of the pods to grow them is convenient. And I'm not pooping on it. I love Hickman's writing. I'm not pooping on anything. I don't know. It, like I said, it doesn't feel like it's not, you know, mainly maybe it's because it's not the X-Men versus Magneto. It's not the X-Men versus Apocalypse. It's not the X-Men versus Sinister. It's not a lot of that. Although we've seen the groundwork in it from what
you
loaned me. But it's very, like I said, very good. I don't want to poop on it. It's very good. But it, if this makes sense, it felt 100% like a Jonathan Hickman story.
Yes.
And about 75% of an X-Men story to me. And that was my only complaint about it.
And when I first started it, I was having a hard time following it because I hadn't really read X-Men in a while. And so characterizations were off for me. And I ended up finding out a lot of it was how he was writing them, that he just did it a little bit different for some of them. But like Mr. Sinister, he kind of drove me nuts.
Yeah, what I did like his take, though, that each Sinister is developing its own personality.
Right.
That was kind of cool, but you're right.
Yeah.
He was like, if I don't know if you've watched it or listened to the episode, but the Sinister that we dealt with was almost like the Bard of The Witcher. He was important, but very annoying.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see where it goes. I've stopped buying the issues, and I'm going to wait for them to show up in the Marvel app.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing because, and again, some of the stuff I read, too, of the number ones that you left, I didn't even end up reading all of them. Like, I would start one and be like, okay, I just want, and this is what I did with X-Men being the way back. I'm just, okay, I need the two main X books.
Yeah.
Or I need the one other one or whatever.
Yeah.
Speaking of X, though, that's one thing we forgot. What about that New Mutants trailer back in?
I'm interested. We don't watch many horror movies.
But this is a superhero horror movie.
Right. So I'll probably... I'm invested in a lot of those characters from my young days of reading.
Yeah, it's very fun character. It's like Elena Rasputin not Elena. What's her name? Magic. Yeah. We'll just call her Magic. I love her character.
Yeah.
I love it with the sword.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, she's a fantasy superhero is what she is. I love it. I love Macy Williams.
Wolfsbane.
Yeah, I love it. I love... I'm very excited. My fear is, well, and I don't even know if it's my fear. This may actually be the kind of a Matrix syndrome on it. It may be one and done and have no repercussions on the rest of the Marvel Universe because of how it was bought and then wait. But that may be what makes it great.
Yeah. So from what I've read, they did all those reshoots on it and it sat for a while. They've gone back to the original cut, is what I'm hearing.
So dumb.
Yeah.
That's so dumb.
And Disney said this week that it's part of the MCU.
Yeah, well, it's easy to say that, and maybe because they finally realized they had a good movie on their hands, but I just, kind of like we'll see with Deadpool 3 how it fits in the Marvel Universe, because there's a very good a feel and a very good theme to all these movies. And even Deadpool doesn't quite fit it.
Right.
A scary movie doesn't quite fit it. But if they could, I mean, if they make it, bravo to them. Because I think if, you know, we've mentioned on this show, too, I've mentioned to John, to Bender, that things are kind of cyclical. Mm-hmm. And this, too, will end.
Yeah.
What will keep it from ending is if you can start telling a very much more diverse a story.
Right.
And you don't always stick to the epic superhero showdown.
And Marvel's been good with that so far, because like Captain America Winter Soldier was like a spy movie.
Oh, good. Still my favorite. My favorite.
Could have very easily been a James Bond movie.
And, you know, and Guardians of the Galaxy was a buddy comedy.
Yeah.
And, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, Ant-Man crime heist.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I mean, but in that, and you are accurate. That is, they have... But they still all were very much superheroes.
Oh, yeah.
Deadpool is at loosely best a superhero movie. It's more of a gory crime noir.
Yeah. You know?
And then, but a scary movie, that is probably the biggest step out onto the dive or onto that limb.
And I think it's funny that the week that they announced that it's part of the MCU is when they walk back the Doctor Strange stuff and lose the director.
Yeah. It is coincidental. That's a bigger coincidence than that passenger plane getting shot down in Iran.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was. We're not going to get too political here, but we were sitting watching the news that day, and when that plane was shot down, I told my wife, I said, "Oh, Iran shot that down on an accident."
Yeah.
She goes, "You think?" I go, "Yeah, they probably thought that was an American retaliation, so they shot the son of a bitch down."
Yeah.
And that's what happened. Well, we don't know why they did it, but yeah. Yeah, that is odd. But hey, if we've said this a bunch on the show, even when they have a turd, like an Iron Man 2, or I can't think of any really, well, or Thor, a couple of Thors, and even as big a turds as the Thors were, I still enjoyed them.
Oh, yeah.
And Ragnarok was just such an amazing film.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the five out of those three movies.
Yeah.
But even when they make a turd, you know, they're still doable, they're still passable. And they've bought all the credit in the world from the fans, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's, again, going back to our Star Wars Marvel comparison, Marvel's bought all the credit in the world, and people are willing to give a benefit of doubt. And the moment a new Star Wars movie's announced, people start bitching.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Well, look at the trailer. Oh, there's not enough of this person in the trailer.
Oh. It's like DC's making them.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. Which, by the way, are we ever going to see the Snyder Cut?
I don't know. I'd like to see it. I'm curious.
Yeah.
It won't be the end of the world if I never see it, though.
Yeah, it wasn't a great movie.
No.
It just wasn't a good movie.
No.
I finally watched Aquaman. Enjoyable.
Yeah, it was fun.
Shazam, enjoyable. Yeah. Wonder Woman, enjoyable. If they could take those movies and then build from them, it would have been great. But instead, yeah, they made a really bad movie, and then all those directors pretended those movies didn't take place.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's just... Yeah.
But you kind of have to with what it's set up. I mean...
Yeah.
It set up something that they weren't going to be able to attain, and so you just kind of have to look past it and keep going.
That said, the only thing that would make me want to watch the Snyder Cut is if they did say that there was 20 minutes of Darkseid.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to see.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I want to see. Superman flying in to knock Darkseid out and him just catching him or something.
Yeah.
Or trying to outrun the Omega Beam. Something cool.
Yeah.
You know? Or Batman outsmarting him because he's just a man.
Yeah.
I'm still pretty excited about. Call me stupid. You know, fool me once, fool me twice, all that stuff. I'm pretty excited about the Batman.
Oh, I am too.
It's the cast, and now they've officially said Colin Farrell is the Penguin.
Yeah,
I'm on board.
And that's the one they, outside of the campy Schumacher movies, haven't gotten wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Tim Burton. Well, Tim Burton's second movie wasn't the best. Batman 2 wasn't great, and the Schumacher one definitely was awful.
Yeah.
But Nolan nailed it.
Yeah, he did. And so, I mean, they have the groundwork of what they need to do for the movie.
I'm almost positive I brought this up on the podcast, but when I woke up when I woke up this morning, I went downstairs and turned the TV on, and it just happened to be on Showtime or Cinemax or something like that, and The Prestige was on.
Oh, it's such a good movie.
The most underrated Nolan movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's because there was so much love and hate for Inception and you know, Memento was unbelievable, and
yeah,
his Batman movies still... I would argue to my dying day that the Joker or the Batman, the Dark Knight, is still the Dark Knight? I can't remember. Is still the best superhero movie we've ever seen.
Oh yeah, I agree with that.
And Heath Ledger, there's no one. Don't get me wrong, I haven't seen Joker yet.
Yeah.
And everybody's told me how great it is, and I'm excited about it. Joaquin Phoenix might be the only guy that could boast that chops.
Yeah.
But no one's done as good a job as Ledger in any superhero movie. But The Prestige is just a fantastic movie.
Oh, yeah. I went back and read the book after the movie came out. And
I didn't even realize it was a book.
Yeah, it was Christopher Priest, the guy.
That makes sense.
Yeah. He wrote it.
He's had a handful of movies made, right? Yeah. Or books into movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was good, but it was nowhere near the movie.
Really? It almost never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to give it a go. I would like to give the book a go just to see, because that movie is so good.
Yeah.
I mean, just the back and forth, the plot twist, just like with Memento, he executes it so perfect.
Well, and he always has such a great cast.
Yeah, well, he's got Batman casted. And
Batman and Wolverine.
Yeah, Wolverine in that. I mean, well, and I don't just mean Batman, but I mean, he even has Alfred.
Yeah.
You know, he's got it all. I dug it. Gosh darn it, there was something else as we were talking about that. Oh, speaking of books to movies or books to TV, have you, I don't know, I think Bender watched the first one. I don't know where he's at, but His Dark Materials on HBO, have you?
I haven't watched it. I've never gotten into that stuff.
The Golden Compass was not good.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, it should have been good.
Yeah.
And this has another great cast with Ewan McGregor, and I mean, I want to give it a go. How about Watchmen?
I watched the first episode, and I felt disturbed after watching it.
Really?
Yeah.
I may need to watch it if that's the case.
It was incredible, but it was like one of those ones I wasn't going to sit there and binge, because I was just left.
Yeah, you can
kind
only,
of numb and like
you can't
I,
do that
I have to
yourself.
Chew on that for a while.
Yeah, you can't watch five episodes of a show that makes you feel bad in your soul.
Oh yeah,
you get that. They're like, oh, I don't want to become a serial killer and take my family out, so I'm going to go watch a cartoon now.
I've listened to a lot of Damon Lindelof talk about it after the fact, and how he doesn't have a plan going forward for it, and he just wants to be done.
Yeah, because I heard the same thing, that this was the story he wanted to tell, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
Good Omens on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
I don't want them. They're trying to get them to do another one, and they're like, "Well, you don't understand. It was one book.
Yeah,
we told the story.
Yeah,
the story's over." Yeah, yeah. That said, you know, there is some things that that like The Boys. I am super excited for the second.
See, I haven't watched that yet.
Oh, don't watch it with the kids around.
No,
but it is super awesome.
Yeah,
that's like The Witcher. Don't watch The Witcher with the kids around.
I've gotten through the first episode of that. I felt so lost when it started because I had no clue about any of it.
Oh boy, buckle up! You're gonna get even more lost.
So I'd heard about the timeline stuff, so I knew that was gonna be an issue.
And it's again, like I said on our episode, don't read the timeline until after you've watched it all. And I know that sounds weird, but if you find the timeline out, it's gonna spoil a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't look into the timeline. I just heard that it's told kind of out of order. So I was prepared for that, but
it's not even that it's out of order. It's that there is absolutely no indication that it's out of order until the fourth episode.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah. So halfway through the first episode, I stopped and I Googled what to know about The Witcher before watching it, and so it kind of explained the Civil War and what the Witchers are and everything. So,
and when you do look at the timeline, ignore everybody that wrote the timeline out,
because
that doesn't help. Look at what Netflix officially released. They do a little pictograph of like a little winding map. Makes the most sense. Because I read everyone's like, well, if you go, this is a story from episode 3 and then 7, and you jump back, and I'm like, well, that's stupid. And then I saw the thing and go, okay, now I know where we're at.
Yeah.
Now it all makes sense.
Yeah. So maybe tonight I might knock out another episode of it.
So I'm leaving tomorrow, so we decided to have like just a chill family day. I'm going to edit this episode, and I'm going to release it tonight, with rare Saturday night release. But I just wanted to have a chill night at home, so we're having steak.
Yeah.
We're having wine. It's wine night for us, and I was like, we're going to watch a movie. I just didn't know what the movie was, and goddamn, as I was sitting there flipping through the channels today, I was like, you know, I'll see what's on HBO tonight. John Wick 3, Parabellum.
Nice.
I know, and I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. One of our kids is out tonight, so we were just going to stay in too. And so I'm going to stop by a Redbox and grab a couple movies.
See, I always forget Redbox.
Yeah.
I'm a couple days ago, I was in the grocery store. I go, you know, if we can't find anything for Saturday, I'm going to get a Redbox.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. But, you know, because like I think the new Rambo's in there. I want to watch it. I'm hoping the only thing that I love, this flight I'm on tomorrow is 3 hours, just over 3.5 hours.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that Rambo or something's on there.
Oh, nice.
The last flight I took was only an hour and a half for work.
Yeah.
But Godzilla or King of the Monsters was on, and it was exactly 3 hours long. So I watched the first part of it and then the second part of it on the way back.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, and it was like a movie I'll never pay for, but I was so happy to watch it. That's why I am with the new Rambo. I'm like, please be on there.
Yeah.
Just so it's something. It's, you know, travel food. That's all it is.
Yeah.
You don't expect much out of your airport food, but it does fill you up when it needs to. So,
Yeah. I was going to grab The Joker last night to watch, but my wife had other things she wanted to watch instead.
So, oh, what was it? The Cellar Out.
We got Abominable for the kids.
Okay.
And then we watched Blended. It was Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, the second one they did together.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a lot better than it should have been.
Really?
It was pretty funny. It raunchy at times.
I remember, that's what, 3 years old, 4 years old, something like that. I never gave it a chance. I got to tell you, I have no problem. I've professed my love for dance movies on this show. I love courtroom movies.
Yeah.
But I'm also a sucker for a well-done rom-com.
Yeah.
And 50 First Dates is a really good rom-com.
Yeah. Well, him and Drew Barrymore have great chemistry on screen. So
he gets it right sometimes.
Yeah.
And when he does, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But when he doesn't, it's the worst thing in a movie made.
Because I saw him like, oh, this is an Adam Sandler movie. I don't know. Maybe there's something else, but I went ahead and got it, and it was worth it.
What kind of life path has lucked him into making romantic comedies, like multiple, with Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, what have you done in life?
I mean, that's Opera Man right there.
Salma Hayek in Grown Ups?
Yeah.
I mean, he gets the hottest women in the world.
Yeah.
Speaking of Adam Sandler, I don't know if you saw, you know, there was a lot of buzz about him for Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like he's going to get the nod.
Yeah.
They were talking about how because they list out the people that were in the Golden Globes ranking, and it's like usually the top six gives you your odds on your Oscar.
Yeah.
And he was just outside of it.
Oof.
Yeah. And he made a joke on Howard that if he didn't get an Oscar nod for this movie, he was going to go back to making only movies that people hate.
Nice.
Yeah, which he's going to on Netflix anyway, because he's getting paid for it. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, and he'll bring in all of his friends, and they'll probably have a blast making them, but...
I want him, I think there's something to be said, too, about the movies that he's made that he's not in. Grandma's Boy is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
He's all the Kevin James movies, which... Not great, but Here Comes the Boom is pretty underrated.
I haven't seen it.
It's a good one. The MMA one with Boss.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best one out of the Kevin James movies. But, yeah, there's very few guys, and they're out there, that are as loyal as they are and just continue to put out shit. And who's cooler to be around than Adam Sandler?
Oh, yeah.
He loves playing basketball. He loves music. And he loves making movies for his friends.
Yeah, and bringing them in his movies. Because, I mean, one of the football coaches from Waterboy was in there. The guy with the goofy eyes.
Oh, yeah. Well, those are all his, not only his friends, but his original manager when he was, and all those guys were in, one of the cool things, what was it? It was the follow-up to Freaks and Geeks. It was the college one.
Undeclared. Yeah.
There was an episode where he was in it as Adam Sandler, and all his buddies were in it as themselves too, and it really explained. Like, it was the real knife explanation, and he was like, well, we're just his best friends, and he's brought us along this ride, and I'm his manager, and I actually, and I do, and it was that perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Adam Sandler, that was his way of saying, here's why you always see these guys. Yep. Pre-internet, pre-internet, like, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was great. That said, there was what was I going to say? There was right on the tip of my head. There was something, a good point about some friends or something. I think it's gone, so I'm just going to forget I brought it up.
Right.
But did you bring anything today, though?
Not really. Did you see the Lock and Key trailer?
I'm both amazingly excited, and a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Here's my disappointment. It doesn't look scary.
Yeah.
It looks Stranger Things-ish.
That's exactly what I thought.
It looks like they're not telling the first story, but they're cramming all of them, a couple of different stories.
Yeah.
I think the show is good enough for 6 or 7, or even if you want to drag it to 8, that each miniseries, which for those that don't know, Lock and Key is a book from IDW, a comic book written by Joe Hill. And for those that don't know, Joe Hill is Stephen King's son. He didn't want to cash in on Dad's name, so he came up with the name Joe Hill. And the way they tell the story in Lock and Key, every different key is a new miniseries.
Yeah.
Whatever the key they're looking for is a new miniseries. That, to me, more than anything outside of Chrononauts, screamed, this is a serialized TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Chrononauts, we joke, me and Bender joke, a Mark Miller book that was optioned for a movie before it was even released, first issue. And when you read the books, you're like, oh, yeah, this is a movie.
Yeah.
But Lock and Key... Every season is a different series, and you go on for a long time. And I was excited about that. But like I said, it's almost like they're kind of just... I'm sure we're going to get some outlines of the first series, because it's pretty good. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of that. I'm sure we're going to get some of that story. But I was disappointed with it. Now, that said, it looks so fun.
Yeah, it did.
It looks incredibly fun. The cast looks good.
Yeah.
I don't mind that... I both do and don't mind that it looks like it's going to be more of a child adventure with a little, it should be a little darker than Stranger Things, if that's possible. Stranger Things is pretty dark in concept.
Yeah.
It's just we love these kids so much that they can't kill them, so the stakes aren't that bad high.
Right.
Hopefully the stakes feel a little higher in Lock and Key.
Mm.
There's some brutal murdering in Lock and Key.
Yeah.
It's a horror comic.
Well, it starts out with one.
Yeah, it starts right out of the gate. It's a horror comic. It starts out with, a murder and rape. I mean, that's how the book starts. So I'm excited. I think here's the biggest takeaway, the bonus of it.
Mm.
I think my kids might like it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And if my kids like it, that lets you know that Netflix is going to have another hit on their hands.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, I hadn't read it. Once I saw the preview, I'm like, it's time to pull the trigger on it. And so I'm about halfway through the first trade.
Oh, good. You've got a lot of good stories ahead of you.
Oh, yeah.
How are you reading them?
Digitally.
Which app? I mean,
Hoopla.
Yeah, Hoopla. That's so... Somewhere along, I don't even know where it is, somewhere I have the hardcovers for the first two.
Okay.
And I hadn't read them in so long. Literally this past year when they announced that it was going to be a new series.
Yeah.
I went back on Hoopla and started reading them again.
Yeah.
Now, you're limited to your 7 books, you know, titles a month. Well, one trip out for a work trip up to Pittsburgh, or Minneapolis, I can't remember. I sat in the airport, you know, I read the first one waiting for my plane. And then on my ride back, when I was leaving Minneapolis, I had like some stupid, like the way the flights worked out. I had like, I woke up and had my breakfast, got my stuff together. There was like 5 hours before the, before my flight. And I could have sat in the hotel and done some work. But I know every person from my company that was there was going to stop and talk to me. And I was like, yeah. I was going to get no peace. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the airport. I'm going to get in my terminal. I'm going to sit and I'm going to read at my terminal. And that's what I did. And I read like everyone that was on Hoopla that I could, you know, with exhausting my 7 a month. Even now, after, I guess, hell, the series is over 10 years old at comic books, almost probably 12 to 13 when it started. It's better now. Now that I'm a little older in life, I like it more.
Yeah.
It's a great book. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah. And that's what I like about some of these shows that come out that have the comic books. It gets me to go back and read things I've missed out on before.
Yeah. And who is the art? Rodriguez? Or Gabriel? No, who's the art? Is it Joe Rodriguez? It's not Joe Rodriguez. I can't remember his name. I want to say whoever the artist is, and I can't even remember if that's consistent through all of them, the artist is perfect for him, too.
Oh, yeah. I love the style of it.
And to be honest with you, that style, if it was a superhero book, I would hate it. I would 100% hate on it. And that, it just, whatever it is about it. And it's not like it's the most darkly colored book.
Yeah.
It's pretty vibrant colors. Who is it?
Gabriel Rodriguez.
Yeah. Violent Messiahs, I want to say, is where Gabriel Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, which was an old book, but from Image, but a great book.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Gabriel Rodriguez, and it's very different the way it's doing. It's something I can't put my finger on what's different about it. It's got to be something with the eyes or something.
Yeah.
But it works perfect.
Yeah.
And I like it. So I'm excited about that. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
So that's all you had? I mean, you literally came over with no preparation?
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, I'm the host of this show. I'm supposed to be able to rely on random guests that didn't know they were going to be here today.
Hey, I typically get everything ready for our podcast, so...
That's okay. I did hint, and we're going to talk about it, and I don't feel bad about talking about it. On one hand, I know that it's not always the most... put it this way. There's very few of my audience that actually wants to hear about the sports stuff.
Yeah.
But the ones that do, like my buddy John Oliver in Springfield, Missouri, who happens to be a writer and covers a sports writer for Springfield Cardinals.
Okay.
And I wanted to talk to you because I've got a message. I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook, but he put together the rumors that he's heard.
Yeah.
And by saying he's heard, he's got some insight because he knows the Cardinals organization, some people in it.
Right.
About the trade, but let's talk about the trade a little bit. And of course, I mean Randy Ariza.
Yeah,
is that how you say it?
Arozarena.
Yeah, it's a weird name.
Yeah,
and fan favorite, sweetheart of a guy, maybe my favorite personality on the Cardinal, maybe of all time, Jose Martinez.
Yeah,
and a 38th pick.
Yes,
for Liberace. I'm sorry, Libertore. Right.
Yes.
And a 66th pick.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, 66 in the supplemental. I don't remember where it
was. So they're competitive balance picks. So since they're small market teams, technically, they get a pick, and it's kind of random how they give them to them. So we traded our one that comes after the first round for their one that comes after the second.
Right, yeah. And the key note here is we have a metric shit ton of outfielders.
Yeah.
And as great as Jose Martinez is, he is a layup DH.
Yes.
In fact, he may thrive as a DH.
Oh, I think he will.
I do too. I think I'm not saying all-star, but I'm saying like, you correct me if I'm wrong, and this is why I wanted to talk to you about it. I think this guy's a 270 hitter with about 26, 27 home runs.
Yep.
On the high end.
Yeah.
And about 80 RBIs.
Yeah.
What a DH. That's a great DH.
He's perfect.
Yeah, and so we lose that, and we lose a guy that is, people think that because he had such a good year in Springfield and Memphis last year, and he was called up, and he's a very old rookie.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
Yeah, because he's, what, 25, I think?
6 years in the minors.
Yeah. Something like that. And that includes the time in Cuba.
Cuba. But, I mean, that's a long stretch, though.
Yeah,
you either and Jose Martinez the same way.
Yeah.
But he earned his spot and kept it. But, again, we're so deep in outfielders.
Yeah. Well, and Rosarena had never really shown power this year until this year when he got to AAA, and they're using that ball they use in the majors that just flies right out of the park.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if the power is really there for him. So.
And we got the number two left-handed prospect in all of baseball.
Yes.
A 20-year-old that they think could start as early as next year.
Yeah.
Not this coming season, but right. The one after. He might get a late-season call-up.
Yeah. I don't see him up until 2022.
Which is fine, too.
But yeah.
That's fine also. Yeah. I mean,
but I don't see him ever making it with the Cardinals.
Oh, you don't?
I see this as a precursor to a bigger deal.
So here is what my buddy John said. He called it a precursor trade.
Mm-hmm.
He said Ozuna's going to resign.
Yeah.
That's the rumor. Now, Ozuna is fueling that rumor, saying, I don't want to go anywhere else.
Right.
Texas
and
is fun.
He's said that since the end of the season.
But he says, then we're going to get Arenado and Blackman, and we're going to give up either Hudson and Carlos Martinez, Kisner, Fowler, O'Neill, and either Genesis Cabrera or Junior Fernandez to get those two. And I got to tell you, everybody's like, oh, that's a big haul for two guys. We are so loaded in outfielders.
Yeah.
Carlos Martinez is probably his stay's done.
Yeah.
Now, of those names, is there anybody that you would be pissed at not losing?
No, I'm kind of in the minority here where I would rather keep Fowler and try to push Carpenter out.
See, that is the thing, that if you get Arenado, you're not going to keep Carpenter.
Right, and it's going to be hard to sell him to a National League team unless you're finding somebody that needs a third baseman.
Yeah, and I said this on this show, I believe, or maybe in tweet. Cardinals have shot themselves in the foot with that Carpenter contract.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the only reason we'll end up keeping him, if anything, because no one's going to want to pay for his production.
And that contract extension wasn't even needed at the time.
Cause,
I mean, he was under contract for this coming season as it was.
We didn't extend Albert when he was here.
Right.
We were – Goldschmidt, there was worried about the extension wasn't going to be till after the season.
Yeah.
It's a weird hill to die on to extend Carpenter, of all people.
Right.
Now, granted, he was coming off of what statistically may be the greatest leadoff year of all time.
But it all came in 1 month.
Yes, and nobody really, I mean, it's just, it was like, well, I guess 2 years ago was the greatest leadoff. The next year was the 1 month. He had 1 month that made most of his stats.
Yeah.
He's a minus third baseman.
Yep.
He is a average hitter that gives you above average production on streaks.
Yeah.
Arenado, who I've also said this on Facebook, his splits worry me a little bit.
Yeah.
But regardless of even if you get only his away from Colorado stats, his glove is more than makes up.
Oh, for yeah.
It. He's the best defensive third baseman in baseball.
Yeah. And even with the splits, I mean, he's still one of the better offensive third baseman you'll find in
the league. It is a dramatic drop, though.
Yeah.
Like 320 down to 270.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 50 points you don't want to see.
Right.
But Blackman's probably the more worrisome about that.
Yes.
The problem, the reason I think the Blackman, there's legitimacy to the Blackman idea, is because for whatever reason, Mozeliak's wanted to sleep with Blackman for the last 5-6 years.
Oh, yeah.
He's tried getting him since he's been here.
Yeah.
Since Mozeliak's taken over, every year it's like, oh, Blackman trade's available. Oh, the Cardinals are interested. Blackman's a free agent. Oh, the Cardinals are looking at him.
Yeah, but with the...
And his splits are way worse.
Yes, and with the outfielders we have, we really don't need him clogging it up if we're going to try to install Carlson in the next year.
Yeah, well, that's also something to be said about it. Blackman is an expiring contract. He's only got, 1 or 2 years left? So if you
thought Blackman was longer.
Oh, maybe he is. Maybe
he just
is.
Signed an extension, I think.
But if you get 4 years, a four-year contract to Ozuna, because he's not going to take less than four.
Yeah.
If you do have Blackman, you have Ozuna, Blackman, and then a combination of Bader, if O'Neill's not traded, O'Neill.
Yeah.
And even if Bader's not a starter, even if he could learn from a guy like Blackman.
Oh, yeah.
How to get on base.
Yeah.
Because he could be a Blackman. Maybe not as all-star caliber.
Yeah.
But an everyday player, because he started, he has the talent to be an everyday player, but he was not an everyday player last year. But you're all holding that spot for Dylan Carlson.
Yeah.
You know, and is he a right fielder? I don't.
He can play anywhere.
He's a right, so he's a right fielder. Because here's the problem with saying you can play anywhere. You're either a center fielder or you're not.
So I'm trying to think. We saw him down in Springfield this year, and I'm pretty sure he was in center, and he looked pretty good out there.
Yeah. Again, though, center field has to be your best defensive out
player. Well, and see, that was the question with Bader when he was in the minors, too, was can he play center? He didn't have – people didn't think he had the range. He had the speed for it, but he didn't get good jumps. But as he's gotten higher, I mean –
oh, his defense is not a problem.
Yeah.
His problem is swinging at shitty pitches.
Right.
And his defense is exactly what we needed when the corners were Fowler and Ozuna, who absolutely are off. In fact, call me crazy, but – of all the errors that Bader had this year, he committed most of them when Fowler was in right field beside him. Because I think Fowler is the worst communicator of a ball in the outfield.
Yeah,
I think you saw that every time a ball was hitting between them, it was a crapshoot.
Yeah,
because I think Fowler either does call it, doesn't call it, whatever, or keeps running. Yeah. I mean, you're gun shy.
Yeah.
So yeah, and all that said, I'm still okay with Fowler being a Cardinal. Fowler had a good year last year.
Yeah, and everyone wants to trade him based off two seasons ago when he was horrible. But he was...
Keep in mind, it was epically horrible.
Oh, yeah, it was. It definitely was. But I don't think he was fully healthy. Because he missed the last, month and a half with a foot injury?
Well, it was a combination of two things. Hmm. He wasn't completely healthy. And maybe one of the worst relationships between manager-player on the team with Matheny.
Yeah. Definitely.
Good luck, Kansas City, with all that mess. Again, I don't want to poop on Matheny as a person because I think he's a good guy. He was a very good player, Gold Glover.
Yeah.
Matheny is reminds me of the Mike Martz of the Major League Baseball. Yeah. He's not going to be a great manager until he gets over his own shit.
Yeah, well, I think he's trying to. He went to analytics school
past
season. He was a special advisor for the Royals.
Okay.
And so he went to analytics school to kind of start understanding.
In the most optimistic way I could look at this for the Royals, he now has experience as a manager.
Oh, yeah.
When we hired him, he had none.
Yeah.
Less than none. Yeah. Not even a high school coach.
Yeah.
He worked some spring trainings, and he helped with his son's high school team.
Yeah.
That was it.
He traveled around working with catchers a little bit for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's not not experienced coach running a franchise.
Yeah.
But, I'll ask you this. I saw the predictions, and I think they had the Cardinals finishing second in the Central, the MLB networks, had the Cardinals finishing second behind Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Milwaukee, St. Louis, then they had, one had the Cubs, one had Cincinnati, and the other had the Cubs, and then they had Pittsburgh. But, but 87 wins looks like the average of what the experts are predicting. You've got the 87's the number over under on our wins this year. Now, but saying it as the lineup is today.
Today, I would probably go over.
Okay. So
it's pretty much the same lineup. The very inconsistent.
Pitching's going to be a little better.
Yeah.
Because we had young. Well, it's very talented group.
Oh, yeah.
Now I will say this: the Cardinals have a history of young pitchers performing and then falling off the face of the earth.
Oh yeah.
But I trust that pitching should improve.
Yeah.
So you take the over. Mm-hmm. Now, the Arenado trade happens. Not Blackman. I was just going to say Nolan.
Okay.
Over under 89 wins.
Oh, over, definitely.
We have an all-star lineup with him there. We have DeJong, who's an all-star.
Yeah.
We have Nolan, who'd be an all-star.
Yeah.
Ozuna, who's an all-star.
Yeah.
Yachty, who's an all-star. Mm-hmm. You have one or two all-star pitchers.
Yeah.
We still have Jonathan Hicks coming back at someone, or Hickman, or
Jordan Hicks.
Jordan Hicks, not Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
Jordan Hicks coming back some point during the season.
Yeah.
Who's an all-star if he's back. You have Wong, who should be an all-star. Yeah.
Gold Glover.
Yeah. And by the way, he's quietly hitting 265, 270 here and there. Still in 30 bases. Mm-hmm. You know, he could. And Goldschmidt, who's an all-star.
Yeah.
That's the best lineup in the National League outside of L.A.
Yeah.
And L.A., by the way, it's pretty comparable. So,
I think Washington is probably right there with them because they've kind of restocked the guys that they let walk.
Yeah, but they did let a very good third baseman that I would have loved to have had, Rendon.
Yes.
Washington has Soto.
Yeah.
and they got Strasburg. Mm-hmm. But Washington essentially has a Ken Griffey Jr. style player in Soto.
Yeah.
And they have a pitcher who came in the league with epic hype, fell off because of injuries or whatnot, and then quietly had another Cy Young caliber year, and no one really talked about it.
Yeah.
And their pitching stayed hot in the playoffs. When I was in Minneapolis for work, and everybody was like, you got swept out of the playoffs by Washington. And I told everybody, I said, I think Washington's going to win the World Series because their pitching is hot, healthy, and cruising.
And really, the Cardinals shouldn't have made it that far.
No, yeah. I mean, we overachieved. Chilt deserved Manager of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
He easily overachieved.
Yeah.
You know? So I will say this, with a Nolan led team with Nolan goes, because me and Noah, Missy knows baseball, but she tends to be towards the like a Bluesier fan base, like the Blues, the fan base is very critical. She was like, well, Goldschmidt sucked last year. I go, well, he still had almost 100 RBIs, 30 home runs, and 268, something like that.
Yeah, and that was after a really cold start, which is typical for him.
Yeah, and there's a new house. You got to get used to things. A little uncomfortable to play his whole career plays. I said, and he also, you know, should have won a gold glove or could have won a gold glove. And I said, so also little protection with injuries all year and stuff. So now you get an Arenado, a Goldschmidt, an Ozuna, healthy Ozuna. Ozuna hurt. You take away his month off.
Yeah.
He was in the MVP race. He was on pace for that.
Yeah, and it always seemed like Ozuna and Goldschmidt were never going at the same time.
Never. Never. No, so, and that's the biggest problem the team had. Wong came out on fire, and no one else was.
Right.
Wong fell off, and then Ozuna got on fire. Mm-hmm. Ozuna got hurt. Goldschmidt finally started hitting.
Yeah.
DeYoung,
he started the season on fire.
Yeah, and then quietly had a good year, but not like the previous year when he was a rookie. He had the sophomore slump.
That was his third year, but the problem was they never gave him a day off when they had a natural shortstop on the roster with Tommy Edman.
Oh, yeah, and that's another thing, name we haven't mentioned. Edman, everybody was in love with Edman. Don't get me wrong, I think Edman's great, but Edman is a great insurance policy.
Oh, yeah.
Will he produce like he did as a starter?
I don't expect it.
I don't either, but I expect him to play, still get 140 games because you put him at second, third, short, even in outfield now.
Yeah.
He's going to play a lot of games.
If he's on the team.
If he's not traded, but he might be a smart trade bait.
Yeah, I could see them capitalizing on the season he had.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's a smart trade piece. But even if he doesn't, he's your Jose Aquindo. You put him in anywhere you want. You can play him every day at a different spot, and as long as he's getting his bats, he'll be able to produce something.
Yeah. So the other name to keep an eye on is Mookie Betts.
He just won arbitration, right?
He did.
A record.
Yeah.
That makes it hard.
27 million?
Yeah, $27.5 million.
And he's a free agent after the season.
But the $27.5 million is the problem.
I don't think so. I think they can afford
Well, we got
that.
The money. Yeah. We can afford whatever. Yeah.
But it's just what Boston wants back.
You get a Mookie Betts, you don't get Arenado.
No.
You get Arenado, you don't get Mookie Betts.
Oh, definitely not. But
you get Mookie Betts, and your whole outfield is completely different.
Yeah. Their new GM, Chaim Bloom, came from the Rays.
Oh.
Huge Liberatore guy.
Yeah.
So there was
talk. So that's what you're thinking.
Yeah. That's a possibility, too.
Huh.
The problem is.
And he's also came from the Rays, so he's used to having a fire sale when he needs to.
Right.
To do whatever.
Yeah. So I don't see the Cardinals going in on Betts unless the cost isn't that high in prospects. Because he's going to walk after the season.
Yeah,
he's not a guy they're going to be able to.
No, and woo. I'll say this: Ozuna has fallen in love with St. Louis.
Yeah.
Matt Holliday fell in love with St. Louis. For the most part, people don't believe this, but Albert Pujols loves St. Louis.
Oh yeah,
it's an easy town for a baseball player to love. Mookie Betts is a guy that wants the glam and the glitz.
Yes, he does.
He's used to playing in Boston, so New York or L.A. is going to be his landing spot.
Right, and that's the same reason we couldn't get Stan.
And don't – exactly. And don't think that when I say L.A., I mean the Dodgers. I think that there's some value in a Betts, a Trout back-to-back lineup.
Oh, that'd be unbelievable.
it's cheating.
But
it's,
they'd still somehow find a way not to make the playoffs.
Tim Kirchen once said with John Smoltz being a reliever and when he came back from injury and he was a reliever and in Atlanta.
Yeah.
He said John Smoltz as a reliever is like playing Nintendo against someone on baseball and not giving them the controller. That's like Betts and Trout back to back.
And
like,
Rendon.
And Rendon, yeah, the three of them in a row. Your 2, 3, and 4 hitters are going to produce 130 home runs.
Yeah.
That's so stupid. Stupid.
Yeah.
That light's broke. Oh. It's not ghost. It's the knobs broke. So let's go ahead and it's early. We still have I have the 49ers playing today, which by the way, I just want to say for the record, the MLB Network saying the Cardinals win in 87 games means nothing because the NFL Network, the consensus vote was the 49ers record this year was going to be 3-13.
Yeah.
And they finished 13-3 and they're the favorites to go to the Super Bowl from the NFC.
Yeah.
It's early to predict, but let's say, do the Cardinals win the Central this year?
I think so. I think Cincinnati is actually going to be the biggest threat. Milwaukee's lost a lot of guys.
Yeah. They're a good team, though.
Yeah.
And they ran well.
Yeah.
Cincinnati is, to me, is the 87 game winner. The Cardinals can win 90 games, I think. I think 92. If the Cardinals win 90, they win the Central.
Yeah.
If they win 92-94, they may have the best record in the National League.
Yeah.
Because the National League is a hard league. There's a lot. I mean,
I can still see the Dodgers being the 97, 98.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what I mean. The Dodgers, the Giants you can never sleep on.
Yeah.
The Mets are a good team. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a guy that there was a thing on Facebook, and me and my buddy Barry kind of tweeted my neighbor, who's a teacher, who's loves stats, historical stats and baseball stuff, about the decade's best performances. And we were asking if Alfonso is the only guy that could claim a rookie season is as good. You know, Aaron Judge's rookie years, you know, was a little better.
Yeah.
And both of them are very competitive with Alberts. Now, Alberts was a difference maker right out of the gate with his average and stuff. But Alfonso had an amazing rookie season. I'm sorry. It's just stupid. 55 home runs?
Something like 50, that. Yeah.
He broke the record.
Yeah.
He broke, it was McGuire's, right?
No, it was Judge's.
Aaron Judge's, who broke McGuire's. Yeah. That's stupid. There's going to be a rookie hit 60 home runs in the next 5 to 10 years.
Probably.
And it's not steroids. It's the way we're coached the game.
Yeah.
It's the way the balls are. It's the way the technology and the bats are. It's everything. But, yeah.
But the way things have gone, the ball could be completely different this year.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
It might weigh an ounce, a half ounce to an ounce more and be less woven.
Yeah.
And it won't fly out of the park.
Yep.
I don't know where you stand on this, but I think the ball consistently needs to be addressed, and I think they need to raise the mound up again 2 inches.
I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah. One of the reasons you couldn't hit Randy Johnson is because the mound was a little taller when he came in, and he was already a giant.
Yeah.
And there's something about seeing the ball come from 4 feet outside of your body.
Yeah.
And at a very high rate of speed from a high elevation. That's the high ground, Anakin. That's what you don't want to mess with.
Yes. Ask Sean Kruk.
Yeah. Hey, before we get off, we've went over an hour. I will say this. What do you think a Mookie Betts falls under this? His performances falls under this. Houston, what do you think is going to be the overall impact, and how many teams do you think at the end of the day is going to get exposed for using video tips for stealing signs?
I really believe almost every team does.
I think it's. I told my daughter. She said, "Well, the Cardinals don't cheat." I said, "Baby, my youngest daughter Hayden." I said, "They're all cheating."
Yeah,
it's the game. The With talent being fairly level, with athleticism being fairly level, the highest on both you could get, you will get away with every advantage you can, and cheating is it. Now, Houston really screwed up because they made it obvious.
Yeah.
Boston, I do truly believe, did. I think they did. I think they cheated.
Oh, yeah.
But do you think that has anything to do with the quality of the player? Good is good.
They have to be such a good hitter, even if they know what's coming, to still hit.
Well, and see, that's the key. That's what I don't think people understand. Knowing what's coming is part of it, but really you're only dealing with two things: fastball, off speed.
Yeah. And
if you know your pitcher,
yeah.
If you know your pitcher, his off speed's usually a breaking ball that's junk, mm-hmm. that's enticing you to swing away. If you lay off of it, and now if that pitcher goes out like a Pedro Martinez back in the day, or even a Strasburg now,
yeah.
it doesn't matter if you know his pitch, because it's going to be around the. I mean, you're going to have to swing at it because he might throw it for a strike at any given time.
Right.
But if you know a guy, especially your third man in the rotation,
mm-hmm.
if he's up there and he's a little inconsistent, why he's a third man?
Yeah.
And if you just lay off all his off speed,
yeah.
you're going to murder him.
Yeah. I go back and forth in this because a guy can still put the bat on the ball, but if it's off by half an inch.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's going to make a big difference. I mean, you have to have the coordination to know exactly where it's going to go.
Well, that's the Barry Bonds argument. Barry Bonds, yes, was on all the steroids. He yeah. was on all the juice. All of it. Not one. He was on everything. What HGH did Barry Bonds take? All of it.
Yeah.
But Barry Bonds still saw one good pitch a game, and he hit the fucker out of the ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can't – cheating doesn't help you put the bat on the ball and hit it on the screws.
Right.
Cheating just – and but that's the thing with baseball. When a sport where you fail 7 out of 10 times
mm-hmm.
makes you great,
yeah.
if you increase your percentages by 5%, you go from great to being a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the key.
Yeah, and I mean, you can triple what you make by doing that.
And to wrap this, put a big bow on this, yes, Boston did cheat, and it's been going back to when Poppy played the Cardinals, because there's no other explanation for how you can hit 700 against a team.
unless you keep pitching to him.
Yeah, you keep throwing him flat fastballs right down the meat of the play. Yeah. Just don't throw to the guy.
Yeah. I do think Boston's going to get hit hard, since this is the second time they've been
caught. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. But I would not be surprised if the Houston investigation, like, it's not going to happen. So I just want to say that it's not going to happen. But if it did lead to voiding of their World Series, it mm-hmm. would be the biggest black eye. It'd be the next eight men out, bigger than that scandal.
Oh yeah,
but it wouldn't shock me because they blatantly cheated.
Yeah, I don't see them going to that length because that would set the bar pretty high.
Yeah,
going
baseball
forward.
Doesn't want to do that. No. But if they did, I think it would be fine.
Yeah.
I think it would be a justifiable thing.
So but, you know the common link between the two teams.
Is it the St. Louis Cardinals?
No.
Or who?
Alex Cora.
Oh, that makes sense.
He was, I think, the bench coach on the Astros and then the manager for the Red Sox.
So, but Houston's GM is our old assistant. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, and this is probably something that this – keep in mind, folks, I'm not excluding anyone that used to be a Cardinal because he's – done plenty of cheating, which they've already gotten trouble for.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is in-game cheating, it absolutely is coming from the dugout.
Yeah.
100%. No way around it.
So every year, bloggers in St. Louis get asked John Mozeliak some questions. We put them in a Google Docs sheet and send it to him. One of the things I asked him was about Jeff Alberts. He was the assistant hitting coach with the Astros that season.
Oh.
He was either a minor league coordinator or he was with the major league squad. So I asked, just point blank, have you talked to Jeff Alberts and what has he said about this and is there any concern with the organization? So, haven't heard back yet. We're supposed to hear in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. You've mentioned this as a show in the past. You do this every year, right?
Yeah.
You send it out. Yeah. I'm interested to see what it says.
Yeah.
You're going to write an article based on what you see?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. I'm going to assume if we throw it to Missy, since Missy and the boys aren't here, do you got anything else you want to hit on before we call her good?
No, I'm good.
I think we filled time pretty easy. Without having a direction, we did a lot of talking.
Yeah, we did.
So I'll say this. Let's remind people. Nerdcast Jay of the Nerdcast. That's how you can find you on Twitter, Instagram, mm-hmm. and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Nerdcast is on Facebook also.
Yes.
You guys will have a episode here in the near future.
We're talking about recording next weekend.
Okay. And so look for that. I have to apologize to Steve because I was going to make fun of him, but the fact that he is an airline mechanic, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But other than that, say bye. We're out of here.
All right. See you later.
And we're going to play the music.